This is Unhurried, and I'm your host, Doug Kyle. You know, life can feel like a race, rushing to the next thing, never time to reflect. But there is incredible value in slowing down with God to take in His perspective, His presence, His pace. How do we revitalize our relationships? I think there are three keys that we can talk about. This is episode 3 of season 2 of Unhurried. I'm your host, Doug Kyle. I'm here in the studio with Ryan, or I should say our production hobbit. That's the name that they gave you, came up with last week. Has anyone called you that since we mentioned that last week?
Yes. One person on my team thought that was the funniest thing that we've ever said or come up with.
Nice.
And he now is, you know, I'm probably in his phone now as the hobbit. Right. So that's nice.
You know? My wife has been referring to you that way all week long. As well. So that's good.
That works.
It might stick. It might stick.
It might.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, you know what? To be, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, I feel like, you know, it's just right there.
It fits right with this podcast. It totally does. Absolutely. Well, good to have you here, Ryan. Good to have each of you with us. Those who are listening online and those who are watching online, either listening or watching, we're glad you're with us. This is the podcast Unhurried, and we're talking a little bit about having a spiritual reset as we enter a new year. So we do these bumpers,
right,
which is an introductory video to the messages each week. For those that aren't here on Sunday, or even those who are here on Sunday, have seen it.
Right.
It kind of goes fast, and we've only got one more week. So would you explain a little bit what people are seeing?
Right.
Because there's a lot of thought that went into that opening video, right?
Yes. Yeah. When you were talking about the series reset and in the new year, we were all sitting around, you know, this table and talking about it. And I just had the thought of somebody trying to reach like an IT tech, you know, and how sometimes you have to talk to them through the chat, you know, bubble that pops up on your computer, you know. And the thing about IT is that a lot of the technical problems that people end up having, they say, you know, have you reset your computer yet? Or have you reset your phone yet?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so that idea kind of sparked from there of kind of looking at it as in us asking God, you know, why are all these things happening in my life? And he's like, I kind of think you need to reset, you know, your value or reset your priorities and put them, you know, on me. Right. And so when we start our series, you see a computer screen pop up and there's a little chat bubble that pops up and it's supposed to be from God, you know, the chat bubble. And he's like, how can I help you today? You know, and then the person are writing in, you know, I don't feel like myself. I feel, you know, unworthy or all these things. And I just don't, I don't feel like, I don't feel myself, you know, like myself. And so then, you know, God responds, you know, I think you need to reset, you know, and then the computer resets itself. And then the stage, you know, lights come on and you're standing there and, you know, you give the message for that day, you know, so.
Yeah. I love it. I love it each week as I get a chance to see it. And it is the classic IT fix, right?
Oh, it's totally. Like,
have you tried turning it off and turn it back on again?
Yeah.
Is the classic. Shout out, by the way, to our moms.
Yes.
Who both listen. I know my mom listens every week, bless her heart.
Yeah.
And she often calls me with a technology problem.
Right.
And
right.
I've said, well, have you tried turning it off, turning it back on? You maybe just need to reset it.
Yes, yeah.
To her credit, now lately she started saying, and I already tried turning it off and turning it back on.
Right.
But yeah, that's the concept here.
Yeah.
You know, on a spiritual level, we need a spiritual reset sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
It's just simply getting back to the way we were designed,
totally.
What God's designed us to, our operating system, and get all the clutter and all the distractions and all the extra files out of the way that we are back where God wants us. So that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love it. Well, the focus of these this first few episodes of season 2 has been exactly that, a spiritual reset. We covered the most important part, which is stepping into God's presence. That was the first week. It's based on Hebrews 10:19-25. And in the middle of that, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And so we started with that, the idea of drawing near to God, that our vertical connection with Him. And then we talked a little bit last episode about our hope and how our hope is grounded in God's character and His promises. But this week, I want to talk a little bit about a relational reset. So in addition to this vertical reset that we need, we also, it turns out, need a horizontal one. By that, I mean our relationship with other people, with those key relationships in our life. And I told you at the front end of this podcast that there are three keys to a revitalized relationship. And when I think back at what we talked about on Sunday, really that's what I want to focus in on, I want to land with a little bit, go a little more deeply with, is that we need to prioritize our relationships. We need to give back in those relationships, and we need to employ the secret ingredient. So what I want to do today is I kind of want to revisit this. I feel like sometimes, Ryan, I'm taking one small aspect of the message and just kind of opening that up more. But on this one, I just feel like some of those things need to be underscored as well, sure, as amplified a little, right, bit. So that's kind of what I'm wanting to do here. Maybe clarify a couple things that may have still be a little bit fuzzy or forgotten from Sunday. Here we are in the middle of the week, a chance to look at those again and remind ourselves of that. So these three keys. And the first one is simply to prioritize relationships. We were designed for a relationship. God wants us to connect with other people. It's easy for me, it's easy for all of us to get really independent and kind of isolated, or treat people, I think, more transactional, where it's just about the what we're trying to accomplish or what we're trying to get, rather than really see them as a real, genuine, authentic relationship in our lives, a person that we care about and they care about us.
Right.
And so to prioritize those relationships, to realize that that's where we get our support, that's where we get our encouragement, that's where we get our growth, our hope, our strength. I think that we talked about all of those things in the message, but one thing I didn't mention is that that's also where freedom comes. There's great freedom in the spiritual life when we value other people and we see how important they are to us. It reminds us, first of all, that we don't have to do everything. Because there's people that can do things better than us. I find that if you could see the room that we're sitting in right now, it's surrounded with all this equipment that I could no more put together than, you know, fly. And yet, you know, Ryan knows how to do this, is put it together. And I realize it's just having someone like you in my life, sure, I realize you're doing things that I can't do. And there's real freedom in that, because that's how God's designed us to be complementary,
right,
to, you know, strengthen each other, cover each other. And there's both a symbiotic relationship, but also a exponential relationship that happens when you're connected with other people.
Right.
It's more than just by yourself.
Right. I've even noticed that on my, you know, like on our worship teams or our tech teams,
sure,
you know, it's like I can play all the instruments, but they're not really meant to be played by one person. You know, they're meant to be played by lots of people. And then all of that comes together very, you know, uniquely and creatively. And then we're as a band or as a team, it just kind of all comes together and we can all kind of be in our, you know, sweet spot and be able to, you know, excel in that together, you know? And so, yeah.
Do you find on with, cause I'm not musical at all, but I'm hoping the answer to this is yes. Otherwise,
you're more musical than you give yourself credit.
No,
I'm actually not.
But,
you have a good listening ear. I'll give you that.
Do I though? Well, do you find like people, like even like keyboards, who's ever playing the keyboards?
Sure.
Two different people would play them two different ways.
Oh, completely. Yes.
And even if they're playing the same notes, the same,
sure,
song, they're, yeah, going to play it. It's going to have a different style.
It'll have a different style for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's part of the beauty,
yes,
of relationships, is, yes, that we just do things differently.
Yes. Yes.
And that everybody kind of has their own spin on it, their own take, their own unique personality. And that's what enriches us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than just cloning ourselves and doing everything exactly like us.
Right.
They do it differently, and sometimes that bothers us, but usually that's to our benefit. And
yes,
and to my point, it's to our freedom.
Yes,
we actually are liberated because we don't have to do everything, and we don't even have to be good at everything. We God's designed us so that we all have certain strengths and certain weaknesses, and that's where other relationships are key.
For sure.
It doesn't take that many relationships in our lives. I'm not talking about hundreds of people in your life. I'm just talking about a handful of people that are these key relationships that you look to for spiritual support, strengthening, development, challenge, and that freedom that comes. And so I would maybe underscore from Sunday just how valuable it is for us to not just nod our heads and say, yeah, that's true, but to also take time to identify who those people are mm-hmm. in our lives and to let them know. We got together with some friends Sunday night after I gave this message, and it was very natural to say, hey, you guys, thanks for being those people in our lives. And to be a little bit more intentional about those relationships of not just taking them for granted, but to identify it as what God's using in mm-hmm. your life. If you've got those faith-filled friends, to let them know that you're kind of leaning into them for that as well. And so it's all over this passage too. Once I got to this part of the passage, mm-hmm. which talks about spurring one another on towards love and good deeds, the part of the passage that really emphasizes this relational aspect, suddenly I backtracked and I realized that the verses that lead into this, the ones we've been covering, that we've been looking at more in a sense of our relationship with God, kind of up and down, I realized those were horizontal too. Those were flooded with a relational aspect as well. The passage, Hebrews 10:19, begins talking about, therefore, brothers and sisters. And so suddenly you're reminded, this isn't just for one us to hear by ourselves, but we're meant to hear this together in community. And then it always says, let us draw near to God. Let us, you know, take hold of the hope that he's given us. Let us, you know, hold unswervingly to the faith that we profess. So it's us, it's we, it's brothers and sisters. And all along, God intended for us to think about this reset in terms of relationships, in terms of community, in terms of being connected to one another. One of the things that I've often had to remind myself and people over the years is that so many of the passages in the Bible that we take as individual challenges to us personally are actually meant for the broader community. And the reason that that happens is because there's this problem with the English language, or there's this just component to it that makes us hard, and that is the word "you" can be either singular or plural.
Right.
And when we say it in English, only the context tells us if it's plural or singular. But in the original language in the New Testament Greek, it's clearly one or the other. The way it's written. Mm-hmm. You can tell, is this meant to be for an individual or meant to be for a group?
Right.
And so we hear these verses and it says you, and we think, well, they're just talking to me, but it's actually, if you look at the original language, it's talking to you, plural, all the body of Christ, us in relationship and community with one another. Let me give you just a couple examples, because these are the ones that kind of surprise you. It says in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And we usually take that to be like very personal. Don't let your heart be troubled.
Right.
But the word is actually your plural heart. And you can tell that because it says hearts, plural. Do not let your hearts. So there's a little hint in the verse, but it's meant to be, sometimes we're troubled by ourselves, but in community, that's part of God's answer for us to find the comfort that God wants us to have. Or Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And we always take that as personal. That's God that began the good work in me. But it's actually the good work in us. Mm. The you there is plural. A lot of his work in our lives is meant to happen as we will relate to one another as brothers and sisters. Even a verse like 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it." We always, it feels like every time I hear that, every time I think about it, we think about it in terms of me personally. But every "you" in that verse is plural. And so it's this idea that we're going to be stronger in temptation if we're bonded in community, if we're connected to people. That's we're going to do way better than if we allow ourselves to be isolated and therefore we won't have the kind of endurance that we would have with one another. So I think, you know, having talked about it on Sunday, I'd want to underscore the idea that we really do need those relationships. They're key to us.
Yes. Yes. I tend to, you know, just, you know, back to my team, but like you tend to attract, you don't always tend to attract the same personality as you. You tend to attract personalities that end up helping you. And so I have on, you know, my team, I have a lot of very type A people, right? And if you know, I'm not very type A at all, you know, so you wouldn't think that we would work well together, but we end up working really well together because they are so steady, right? Being type A type people. And I get to kind of be the, you know, the free bird, you know, to kind of just operate because I always know where they're going to be, you know, because they are so steady, you know, in that. And so then the two of us together end up being able to work really, really well together and be able to excel and, you know, I can't think of the right word, but we end up lifting each other up in ways that we couldn't do it by ourselves. You know what I mean?
I feel like this really works well with teams. When you think about teams and people out there listening or watching may be thinking about the teams that they work with, the people that they, which is perfect. But it's even broader than that. It's relationships in general. Our friendships are, you know, the connections that we have in general, the people that we spend time with when you start to really value their differences and how they're different from us and not see that as a threat, but see that as a compliment.
Yes.
It opens things up.
Yes, it does.
And sometimes at work, we have to be connected with other people because that's the way our job is designed. But we get home and then we get really independent. And the spiritual life is, it works when we have those faith-filled relationships in place.
Yes.
Yeah. True. Well, then so that's the first key. The first key is simply that we need to really prioritize relationships and see how much God puts a priority on them and do the same. The second is to, I'm just calling it give back.
Sure.
So you've got those relationships in your life. You realize how valuable they are to you and what they mean to you. And then realize that we have a collective responsibility now to contribute back to those relationships as well. The verse that we were focused on, Hebrews 10:24, and what we're thinking about today is, consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And this one another aspect of the spiritual life is to realize that now I have a responsibility too. If I'm going to enter in and benefit from relationships, I'm also going to bring benefit to the relationship. It only makes sense. And yet it's so easy for us as believers to kind of focus inward, to think about our own growth, our own development, our own the process that we're in, how the way we find ourselves today, the situation we find ourselves in. But in reality, I think as we grow with God, he wants us to focus on those around us. Matter of fact, one of the best things we can do for our own development is to take our eyes off ourselves, you know, now and then. What if we did that? And so this verse does that. It broadens our view. It says, don't spend so much time looking inside, but also look around you to the needs and the development and what you can do to really spur one another on, those people around you. And I feel like this might be the most transferable part of the message for just stuff that's going to stick with people maybe for a long time. Matter of fact, I was talking to one guy after the message, and he was slated to give some kind of a devotional talk or something the following day. And he said that this part that I'm going to share with you here in a moment, this part, those three things were the things he was going to do as devotion on the next day.
Oh, cool.
Which I thought that was cool. By the way, just as a side note, you're always free to use whatever, you know, people are always free to use whatever I say in whatever context it makes sense. They don't need to, sometimes people go, do I need to like, is it okay? First of all, a lot of times, is it okay for me to do it? And secondly, do I need to like credit you or whatever? And I say, absolutely not. Just take it, use it. If it's valuable. I learned this lesson a long time ago from Chuck Smith, who I actually mentioned in the message too, the well-known and famous pastor, Chuck Smith from a previous generation. He used to say that if he said something and you wanted to use it, he says, as soon as it connects with you, it's yours.
Nice.
As soon as, if it speaks to you, it's yours now. And you can share it with anybody you want. So these were this friend of mine or this listener on Sunday morning said he was going to use these three things. And they are that if we want to spur one another on, there's really three ways we can do it. I think it's easy to share because they all start with an E. First is be an example. People are drawn to a faith that's authentic, real, that's lived out. Before we even say something, they're going to watch out what we're doing. They're going to watch what we're doing, watch our behavior, our lifestyle. And a great way to spur one another on towards good deeds is just to illustrate it with the way we live. Just be an example. The next thing I said is to be an endorser. And that is the idea. A lot of times we notice things in people's lives that are already, God is using it in their lives in a great way, and just let them know, affirm it. I said, when you see something in someone, if you see it, say it. Let them know. So often people don't realize that God's really using them because it's so natural for them that they don't even think it's a big deal.
Right.
Or they go, well, wouldn't everybody do it? Well, actually, no. Not a lot of people do it. No. You might be, you're doing something kind of special.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes we tell other people that it was really cool. I love that this person does this, but then we don't take the time to tell the person themselves.
Right, right, right.
And so take the time to affirm what you see in them. That's going to go a long way. First of all, they may not know that they're doing it, and so it helps them see what it looks like from the outside. But even if they do, they may be ready to kind of quit, or maybe they're getting worn out, they're getting tired, and just your encouragement is going to go a long way in endorsing what they're doing. And then the 30 is to be an encourager. And this is one thing that I wanted to explain a little further in the podcast, because I realized that encourager sounds a lot like what I was talking about being an endorser. Because when we think about being an encourager, we're like, oh, I see something in you, and just tell them. I mean it differently when I say encourager here. And the reason I intentionally saved it for the end of the three is because what I mean is to encourage them in something that they're not yet doing. Mm. So to kind of maybe even challenge them a little bit of saying, here's something you could do because I think you'd be really good at this. I think this is something God could use in your life or use you in the lives of people around you, and to encourage them to do it. So it's not just encouraging what they're already good at. I'm going to put that under the category of endorser, but it's also seeing something they could do and they're maybe not yet stepping into and encouraging them in that direction. There's a lot of other ways we can spur one another on towards good deeds, but I think if we just did even those three things, being an example, being an endorser, and being an encourager, it would go a long way in spurring people on. Sometimes people just need someone else to recognize their potential. They need someone else to recognize what they could do.
Yeah, yeah. To feel valued in being seen, you know, I think is something that, you know, us as, you know, Christ followers can do in our social settings. You know, just saying, you know, I see you, I see what you're doing, and I can also see the potential that you have to keep doing, you know, or to try something new or
absolutely,
go for
yeah.
it or, you know,
yeah.
yeah. So, yeah.
And there's probably not a lot of places in our lives that that happens.
No.
Apart from those key relationships.
Right, right.
So again, this is where we take collective responsibility for one another, realize they may not be getting affirmed in this area or encouraged in that direction.
Right.
But we can do it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. If we're going to take this passage seriously.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good part of being having a spiritual reset is to really think through the relationships in our lives too, because that's where it happens. Mm-hmm. That's where it happens. Mm-hmm. The third thing, the third key was to employ the secret ingredient, which is love. And again, going back to our kind of the anchor passage for this podcast, Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I was just really captivated that the word love got thrown in there, because I think if I was writing, I'd just say spur one another on towards good deeds.
Right.
But the love, and not only that love is in there, but love is mentioned first as a reminder that love comes before good deeds. Mm-hmm. Love leads to good deeds. Good deeds grow out of love. Love needs to be primary. And I imagine, if you think about a lot of the New Testament, it's going to emphasize that very point. Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's a pretty strong statement, Paul. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. But he's got the authority to say it, and certainly Scripture has the authority to say it, that our faith is expressed itself in love. That's what makes the difference. That's otherwise it's just empty. Right. And I think it's what makes it keeps. This is what keeps the Christian life from becoming kind of dull and bland and religious in a negative sense of religious. It keeps it from going there when you realize the motive behind what we do. Otherwise, there's a lot of good people and a lot of religious people that just say, I got to check all the boxes and do all the nice things. But it's not just about doing good things. It's about really seeing the person in front of you, thinking in terms of them as someone who's loved by God, cherished by Him, valued by Him to the point that He sent His own Son to die for them, and then to ask God to love, be a vehicle of His love for mm-hmm. them as well mm-hmm. in the way that we serve them. And probably the thing that I took the most away from the message for myself personally is that this word good, this phrase good deeds at the very end could be translated beautiful works. And when I started to think about it as how love leads to beautiful works, I realized that's what makes our actions, our behavior, the difference we're trying to make in people's lives. That's what makes it powerful. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it beautiful. Yeah. Is when we let love be the agent that leads us in the middle of those. So, otherwise, quite frankly, we're just spinning our wheels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really making a difference. So really allow love to be the thing that makes our works beautiful. I think people can sense that. I think people can sense if you're just doing something to do it or whether you're doing it as an agent of God's love and you're really doing it as a reflection of His love for them.
Yeah.
And allowing Him to show that love, even in our most cherished relationships, the people we would say we love, our family and our close friends, even then we can fall into just kind of doing it out of duty rather than letting love mm-hmm. be our motivation. But that's what makes it beautiful. And that's the thing that I want to work on more as I think about last week's message. So people, I don't know if people think that I'm talking to them, but I'm first of all, was talking to me.
Yeah.
I'm first of all talking to me. And it's like, I'm like, well, that was a good message. I'm super convicted, after a message. So I've always got a takeaway, and that's at least one, if not several, but that's one for me is wanting to do things, in a way that reflects God's beauty, right. Which means it's going to be
right.
infused by His love.
I wonder how many people in our church get the little like nudge from their wife or something. Yeah. I think on a weekly basis,
yeah,
I get one of those.
The elbow?
The elbow of like, are you listening right now?
Yeah, because it's kind of good for you.
You need to, you know? Yeah, yeah. It's, you need to be listening to what Pastor Chuck's saying right now, yeah. You know?
I get that elbow from the Holy Spirit a lot, the side of my head sometimes on Sunday mornings while I'm saying it, you know, and I'm going, well, that's, make sure you're listening, Doug, and you're just talking.
Right, exactly.
Make sure you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining everyone out there. Thanks for watching or listening along the way. This is Unhurried. It's supposed to be sort of like sitting down, having a cup of coffee together and reflecting on what we talk about on Sunday morning. So if you did get a chance to hear it already, this hopefully just reinforced it and brought some things home. If you haven't heard it yet and you'd like to, you can catch the Sunday morning message from January 19th, 2025 on all the places that it's available for you, both either podcast or on YouTube. And hopefully this is a chance for you too, whatever you're doing out there. Someone told me Sunday that they listen on their walks every week, and they said it's about the right length. So I'm going, well, 20-minute walk. Okay, hey, good for you.
That's nice. That's good.
I can picture it. Who needs to walk longer than 20 minutes? But they're about that long, but who knows? Every week's a little different. So thank you, Ryan, for your help in all of this. To our enthusiastic listeners and watchers, thank you to you as well. Again, this has been a deeper dive into the message that I gave on Sunday morning. And you can catch in all the places where I unpack this passage a little bit more word by word and verse by verse. Until next time, this has been Unhurried with me, your host, Doug Kyle, and I look forward to talking soon.